Hi, this is Bob Decker, volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. With the holidays arriving, we'll be shopping and possibly traveling as well. Today I'll be reading a series of articles on holiday package and charity scams, precautions for using your smartphone while traveling, suggestions for shopping for the kids' first phone, and tips for reducing your monthly phone bill. In our first article, from the FCC, we'll look at the scams that have started based on the new tariff rules and related delivery notifications that you might receive. Some tips to avoid charity fraud are also provided. From the Federal Communications Commission, don't let scammers steal your holiday joy. Consumer tips and resources. Online shopping is convenient, easy, and fast. As our shopping habits have changed, so have the scams. Shopping online means waiting for delivery. With so many Americans expecting deliveries, package delivery scams are now a common ploy to steal money and personal information from consumers. Tariff text scams. New de minimis tariff rules went into effect in August 2025 on imported goods priced under $800. But it's unclear to most consumers how much they owe for import duties and when they should be paid, at the time of purchase or during delivery. Capitalizing on consumer confusion about tariffs, fraudsters have adjusted their package delivery text scams to claim that you owe a tariff that must be paid before your order can be delivered. Watch out for text notices claiming your purchase is stuck in customs, or your order will not be delivered until the tariff is paid. Tips to avoid tariff scams. Don't reply to unexpected text messages. Never click links in unexpected messages. Check before you buy. Look for specific information about tariffs and duties on merchant websites before making a purchase. Pay special attention to resale apps and platforms like Etsy and eBay. Legitimate companies will tell you up front if there are additional fees, or will include them in the purchase price. Look closely at tracking numbers and other order details included in emails or texts to ensure that they match the information that the merchant provided. Check directly with the retailer where you made the purchase, or the shipping company, if you think there may be a problem. More package delivery scams. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service warns people to watch out for brushing and quishing scams. If you find a package addressed to you, but you didn't order it, and it is from somebody or a company you don't know, it's likely the free item is part of a brushing scam. Sometimes the gift comes with a QR code that leads to a false website that has been set up to steal your identity. If there's a QR code with a free gift, don't scan it. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service, or USPIS, has posted an alert about phony delivery texts. The alert cites unsolicited mobile text messages, indicating that a USPS delivery is awaiting your action, and includes a non-postal service web link to click. USPIS says to forward any suspicious emails to spam@USPIS.gov and forward text messages to 7726. FedEx and UPS websites have information about scam texts and other types of seasonal fraud. The FTC warns consumers of scammers sending fake shipping notifications via email and text messages. Tracking link scams. Many delivery scams start with a text message or an email about delivering a package to your address. These messages often include a tracking link that you're urged to click in order to update your delivery or payment preferences. You might also get a voicemail with a message and a callback number, or a missed delivery tag on your door with a number to call. If you receive a delivery-related text or notice, never click on a link or call back the number from an unexpected delivery notice. contact the delivery service or seller directly using a verified number or website. Many online retailers include tracking links in their order confirmation emails. Use these to check your order's progress. In some cases, a link may open a website that prompts you to enter personal information, or it may install malware on your phone or computer that can secretly steal personal information. The number you call back may be answered by a scam operator asking to verify your account information or the credit card number you use for a purchase. A variation on the scam can cost you money simply by calling the number back. The fake delivery notice will include a callback number with a 10-digit number, which is an international number. Calling can result in high connection fees and costly per-minute rates. See also the FCC Consumer Guide, One Ring Phone Scam. National delivery companies are also providing information on their websites to help consumers avoid falling for package delivery scams. Both FedEx and UPS say that they do not seek payment or personal information through unsolicited texts and email. On its website, FedEx includes common warning signs of mail, text, or online scams. And UPS provides examples of these types of fraudulent communications on its Fraud Alert website. Tips to avoid delivery scams. Here are some red flags and tips to help you avoid delivery scams. Do not open suspicious emails or file attachments or click email or text links. Do not respond to texts from questionable sources. Several mobile service providers allow you to block the sender by forwarding unwanted texts to 7726. Check with your provider about options. Pressure to act quickly is a red flag. Do not respond to texts pressuring you for your immediate payment or personal information. Any texter or caller that insists on gift cards, store credit cards, or cryptocurrency as the only payment options is a scammer. Never give account numbers, social security numbers, financial or social media passwords and PINs, or other personal information to unknown texters or callers. Don't answer calls from unknown numbers. Legitimate callers will leave a message and you can call back. If a caller claims to represent a company or a government agency, hang up and call back using an official phone number from an account statement or on an unofficial website. Holiday charity scams. Making a charitable donation on Giving Tuesday, the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving, has become a modern holiday tradition. As you make donations this year, watch out for calls and texts soliciting support. It may be a scammer impersonating a real charity or collecting money for a fake charity from unsuspecting donors. A few ways to avoid holiday charity scams include: do your research to make sure you're donating to trusted charities. Verify all phone numbers for charities. If you need to contact a charity by phone or using text to donate, check the charity's official website to see if the number you have is legitimate. Double-check any social media requests for charitable donations before you give. Crowdfunding websites often host individual requests for help, but they're not always vetted. Learn more about charity scams and how to protect yourself from scam charities will take your money and run, which notes as follows. When calls from charities reach out for support, people respond. If you decide to donate, take care to ensure your money is really going to a worthy cause. Thinking of donating to support a charity? Scam artists are counting on your generosity to line their own pockets. They may impersonate a legitimate charity by spoofing their number or simply collect donations for charities that do not exist. Before offering up your credit card number or transferring money, do your homework. You can research charities with organizations such as BBB's Wise Giving Alliance, Give.org, Charity Navigator, Charity Watch, or GuideStar. You can also check with the National Association of State Charity Officials to see if charities must be registered in your state and, if so, whether the charity contacting you is on file. Tips for protecting your money when helping others. Verify all phone numbers for charities. If you need to contact a charity by phone, visit the charity's official website to make sure the number you have is legitimate. Don't open suspicious emails. If you receive a suspicious email requesting donations or other assistance, do not click on any links or open any attachments. Scammers regularly use email for phishing attacks and to spread malware. Be skeptical of social media posts. Independently verify any requests for charitable donations before you give. If you're using text to donate, check the number with the charity first. There are plenty of legitimate charities you can support, but caution is the watchword. Be suspicious when you get a cold call, and especially if you feel a caller is trying to strong-arm you for a donation. If that happens, hang up and don't answer if you get a call back. While charities are exempt from the Do Not Call list for landline telephones, you can ask them to stop calling you and they must comply. Legitimate charities will respect your request, but scam callers won't. At the FCC, we often hear firsthand about phone scams through complaints consumers file with us. You can file complaints with the FCC about charity scams, illegal robocalls, and text and spoofing, and many other issues. Information about what happens after a complaint is filed is available at the FCC Complaint Center FAQ. Happy holidays! From all of us at the FCC, we wish you a safe and scam-free holiday season. If you're traveling, you'll often want to stay in touch with friends, families, or even the airlines. Public Wi-Fi has become almost an expectation everywhere. In our next article, the FCC provides some guidelines for using these resources safely, and even for how to set up your home Wi-Fi or Bluetooth network for security. From the FCC, Wireless Connections and Bluetooth Security Tips. When you're traveling or just out and about and trying to stay connected, it may be easy to connect to a free Wi-Fi network. But think twice before you connect. Wi-Fi networks and Bluetooth connections can be used by cyber thieves to steal your identity and other sensitive financial information. Public Wi-Fi Access. Many Wi-Fi users choose to use public networks instead of a device's data plan for accessing the internet. But the convenience of public Wi-Fi can be risky. Hackers can access your connections and compromise sensitive information stored in your devices and in your online accounts. Here are some tips you can take to minimize the risk. Watch out for imposter public Wi-Fi hotspots. If more than one hotspot seems to belong to an establishment that you're in, check with the staff to avoid connecting to an imposter hotspot. Make sure all the websites you exchange information with have HTTPS at the beginning of the web address. The S in HTTPS stands for secure, so your transmitted data will be encrypted and much less likely to be hacked. Install an app add-on that forces your web browsers to use encryption when connecting to websites. Adjust your cell phone settings so that it does not automatically connect to nearby Wi-Fi networks that are not on your short list of trusted networks. If you use public Wi-Fi hotspots on a regular basis, consider using a virtual private network, or VPN, which will encrypt all transmissions between your device and the internet. Many companies offer VPNs to their employees for work purposes, and individuals may subscribe to VPNs on their own. When transmitting sensitive information, use your cell phone data plan instead of Wi-Fi. It may be more secure. Bluetooth security. Bluetooth connections to your mobile devices can be used to connect to wireless headsets, transfer files, and enable hands-free calling while you drive, for example. Most of the time, a user must allow a Bluetooth connection to occur before data is shared, a process called pairing, which provides a measure of data security. But like Wi-Fi connections, Bluetooth can put your personal data at risk. Here are some steps you can take when using Bluetooth. Turn Bluetooth off when not in use. Keeping it active enables hackers to discover what other devices you connected to before, spoof one of those devices, and gain access to your device. If you used Bluetooth to connect your mobile phone to a rental car, be sure to unpair your phone and clear any personal data from the car before you return it. Take the same steps when selling a car that has Bluetooth. Use Bluetooth in hidden mode rather than in discoverable mode. This prevents other unknown devices from finding your Bluetooth connection. Home wireless network security. Home wireless networks enable computers and mobile devices to share one broadband connection to the internet wirelessly all over your home. But home wireless networks have vulnerabilities that hackers can exploit. To help protect your home network from unwanted users, consider the following steps. Turn on encryption. Wireless routers often come out of the box with the encryption feature disabled, so be sure it is enabled when you set up your network. Change the network's default network name, also known as the Service Set Identifier or SSID. When a computer with a wireless connection searches for and displays the wireless networks nearby, it lists each network that publicly broadcasts an SSID. Manufacturers usually give all their wireless routers a default SSID, which is often the company's name. For additional security, choose a unique and hard-to-guess name for your SSID. Change the network's default password. Most wireless routers come with preset passwords for administering a device's settings. This is different from the password used to access the wireless network itself. Hackers may be familiar with the default passwords, so it is important to change the router device's password when you install it. Longer passwords, made up of a combination of letters, numbers, and symbols, are more secure. For additional security, activate the Media Access Control or MAC address filter in your wireless router. Every device that can connect to a Wi-Fi network has a unique ID called its physical address or MAC address. Wireless routers can screen the MAC addresses of all devices that connect to them, and you can set your wireless network to accept connections only from MAC addresses that you approve. Turn off your wireless router when it will not be in use for an extended period of time. Use security apps on your computer and on mobile devices that access your wireless network. Encryption. Encryption is the best way to keep your personal data safe. It works by scrambling the data in a message so that only the intended recipients can read it. The most common type of effective encryption is Wi-Fi Protected Access, or WPA. Using current security standards, WPA 3 if compatible with your device, or WPA 2 if your device is older. Both WPA 2 and WPA 3 are much more secure and use dynamic keys and stronger encryption methods than the obsolete Wired Equivalent Privacy, or WEP. Password best practices. You probably have a password for just about every website you visit, and it can be hard to remember them all. Web browsers and other programs may offer to remember passwords for you, which can be a significant time saver. However, certain password shortcuts can leave you less secure. The following best practices may help you protect your personal information. Use combinations of letters, numbers, and symbols. The longer and stronger the password, the safer your information. Don't use the same password for multiple accounts, especially for the most sensitive ones, such as bank accounts, credit cards, legal or tax records, social media accounts, and files containing medical information. Don't use passwords that can be easily guessed, such as common words or birthdays of family members. In keeping with our earlier article on phones, staying in touch with their children is important. If this season is a time when you're considering purchasing that first phone for your child or relative, what should you consider? Our next article discusses this. From the FCC, your kid's first phone. There comes a time when every parent must face the rite of passage that is their child's first cell phone. For kids, it's also a time for accepting new responsibilities, adopting new safety habits, and learning new technologies. It can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. Here are some suggestions that might help. Don't go overboard. Kids will be kids, and they will likely lose or break whatever phone they get. The main purpose for getting them a phone is to stay connected. Focus on a device that keeps you connected and is capable of running an operating system that receives security updates. You might even consider a screen-free phone as your child's first device. Do your homework. There is no shortage of best first phones for kids lists available via simple web searches. Do some online research, keeping your priorities in mind. Talk to other parents and compare notes. Additional resources for first phone decisions are available from the nonprofit ConnectSafely.org. Check out their Family Tech webpage for the latest information. Responsible ownership. While shopping for the right phone, spend some time discussing protection, your child's and their devices. Learn how to protect it. Compile a list of phone numbers belonging to family members, friends, your child's school, and other contacts you can rely on. Share the list with your son or daughter and advise them not to answer the phone unless a call is from a known, safe contact. Explore your phone company's options for call blocking and teach your child about robocalls, robotexts, and spoofing scams. Discuss scam warning signs, such as voice recordings or strangers asking for information, and advise against providing information to people you don't know or pushing any phone buttons if prompted to do so. Tell them if they receive a robocall, they should simply hang up. Consider setting rules about downloading apps, such as those requiring parental permission. Talk about when and where the phone can be used, and look into settings or apps that manage screen time. Discuss how to protect your child's phone from theft and what to do if a phone is lost or stolen. Consider purchasing a protective case for your phone model. Choose one with a drop-tested durable shell, and don't forget a screen protector to help avoid scratches and cracks. Remind your kids that having their own cell phone is not only a privilege, but a big responsibility. And let them know you're counting on them to be trustworthy and safe. Our last article from Reader's Digest provides some suggestions on how you might trim your cell phone bill, which might be helpful if you've just added a new phone to your plan. Reader's Digest, 7 Tricks to Use Less Cellular Data and Lower Your Cell Phone Bill, by Morgan Cudulo, updated June 23, 2024. Avoid paying overage charges for your cellular data by using these easy tricks. 1. Turn off background app refresh. When this feature is enabled, your apps are constantly refreshing so they can show you the most recent content when open. This includes email syncing, weather widgets updating, and feeds refreshing. For the iPhone, turn off the background app refresh by going to Settings, General, Background App Refresh. For Android, go to Settings, Data Usage, Restrict App Background Data. This will allow you to turn features off for all apps, or you can pick and choose which ones you want to turn off. disable apps that use a lot of data. There are certain apps that use more data than others, whether you use them frequently or not. For ones that you don't use often, turn off cellular data. For the iPhone, go to Settings, Cellular. Then, under Use Cellular Data For switch certain apps to off. Turn off app updates. If your apps update automatically, your phone will start to download whether you're connected to the Wi-Fi or not. To turn this off on an iPhone, go to Settings, iTunes and App Stores, turn off Use Cellular Data. And for an Android, go to Settings, under the General Quick Auto Update Apps, Auto Update Apps over Wi-Fi only. Then your apps will only update when you're connected to Wi-Fi. Turn off Wi-Fi Assist. Wi-Fi Assist automatically uses your cellular data when the Wi-Fi signal is poor. To disable Wi-Fi Assist for an iPhone, go to Settings, Cellular, and turn off Wi-Fi Assist. Turn off iCloud Drive. When iCloud is enabled, it is constantly moving documents in and out of the cloud. Use less cell phone data by turning iCloud off. To do this on the iPhone, go to Settings, iCloud, turn off iCloud Drive. Download music. When you're on the go, streaming music, podcasts, or videos can really eat away at your data. Both the iPhone and Android phones let you restrict these apps to Wi-Fi only. Turning this setting on will force you to download them when connected to a Wi-Fi network, then allow for data-free listening on the move. And finally, turn off cellular data completely. If you know that you're about to reach your data limit or are saving it for the road trip you have coming up, you can simply turn off cellular data. This way, no data will be used, and certain apps will only work if you're connected to a Wi-Fi network. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Bob Decker, volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you, on our stream, on demand, or on the Sun Sounds app on your smartphone or home device.